Sing Out Magazine was founded over 60 years ago by a group of folks who loved roots music. Today, it's a vital and entertaining resource for anyone who loves folk music the world over. As in the past, thousands of people turn to Sing Out to read about and learn from the artists who play the music. This is the Sing Out Radio Magazine. This is the Sing Out Radio Magazine, and I'm your host, Tom Druckenmiller. Our theme music this week comes from the CD The Devil's Tune on Northside Records. We heard one of a variety of renditions of the title tune, played by hard-angle fiddle master Sven Nyhus from Norway. This week, we celebrate music for the haunting season of Halloween. Some songs and tunes have a deep spiritual significance, and others are just for fun. We'll open with a Halloween classic of an account from the Salem witch trials held in Massachusetts from late winter 1692 until the spring of 1693. Some of the lyrics of the song Susanna Martin are taken directly from the transcripts of her trial. Here's Touchstone from their recording The New Land with Susanna Martin. It's Halloween on the Sing Out Radio Magazine.
Spoke, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live, 'tis written in still in scorn, she faced the road. Her comely head held
sisters side by side. Oh, the wind and rain. Two little sisters side by side, holding hands by the riverside. Oh, the wind and rain. Oh, the dreadful wind and rain. Now one pushed the other into the tide. Oh, the wind and rain. One threw the other in the raging tide. One girl laughed and the other girl cried. Oh, the wind and rain. Oh, the dreadful wind and rain. Floated on down to the old mill pond. Oh, the wind and rain. She floated on down to the miller's pond. Gave up the ghost, sang this song. Oh, the wind and rain. Oh, the dreadful wind and rain. Never caught a fish that I ever did waste. Oh, the wind and rain. Oh, the dreadful wind and rain. That miller was a devil, and the devil had a plan. Oh, the wind and rain. That miller was a devil, and the devil had a plan. To build him a fiddle with his own two hands. Oh, the wind and rain. Oh, the dreadful wind and rain. He took her little shin bone for his fingering board. Oh, the wind and rain. Took her little shin bone for his fingering board. Boiled down her hide for the glue, good Lord. Oh, the wind and rain. Oh, the dreadful wind and rain. Made his fiddle screws from her finger bones. Oh, the wind and rain. Made his fiddle screws from her finger bones. And the catgut strings were the poor girl's own. Oh, the wind and rain. Oh, the dreadful wind and rain. Then he combed her hair for his fiddle bow. Oh, the wind and rain. Combed her hair for his fiddle bow. Tightened it up and he tapped his toe. Oh, the wind and rain. Oh, the dreadful wind and rain. But the only tune that fiddle would play was oh, the wind and rain. Only tune that fiddle would play was the song she sang on her dying day. Oh, the wind and rain, oh, the dreadful wind and rain. The day did come when her sister wed. Oh, the wind and rain, the day did come when her sister wed. The happiest day that she ever did had. Oh, the wind and rain, oh, the dreadful wind and rain. Held the wedding dance at the old town hall. Oh, the wind and rain, wedding dance at the old town hall. But the only dance that fiddler called was, oh, the wind and rain, oh, the dreadful wind and rain. The tune put a fever in her head. Oh, the wind and rain, that fiddle put a fever in her head. And she danced so hard, she fell down dead. Oh, the wind and rain, oh, the dreadful wind and rain. Two little sisters, mark them well. Oh, the wind and rain, two little sisters, mark them well. One sings in heaven, one dances in hell. Oh, the wind and rain, oh, the dreadful wind and rain. Oh, the wind and rain, oh, the dreadful wind and rain.
Bye.
listening to music for the Halloween season this week on the Sing Out Radio Magazine. And if you saw the movie Cold Mountain, you might remember the Battle of Petersburg, which comes early in the film. And the scene is really etched in my memory, and mostly because of the combination of the battle and the shape note song Idumea that was sung in the movie by the Sacred Harp Singers at Liberty Church from down in Alabama. And we heard Idumea from the soundtrack for Cold Mountain on Columbia DMZ Records. And before that, Joel Mabus retells the classic Two Little Sisters in his own rendition from the recording Pepper's Ghost and Other Banjo Visitations. And that's on Fossil Records from Joel Mabus. And we let off that set with a classic for Halloween, Susanna Martin from Touchstone, and they're recording The New Land on Green Linnet Records from back in 1982. You're listening to the Sing Out Radio Magazine, and we're going to open this next set with a story from a Mohawk storyteller named Murray Porter and the story of the dog lover on the Sing Out Radio Magazine.
There was a Seneca man who was what we would call today a dog lover. It is not that the other Seneca hated dogs, but in those days, dogs were mostly kept for hunting or to guard and warn the people of impending danger. They were working animals and treated as such. The Seneca man we are talking about had three dogs. All had names and were well fed and cared for. All three of his dogs were allowed to sleep in his lodge, and one in particular, Beaded Eyes, slept right with the warrior, mostly right on him. He loved his dogs. To describe Beaded Eyes is not at all difficult. He was quite small, mostly white in color, and had been given his name because of the two black markings around his eyes. He looked as though he was wearing a mask. Of all the dogs, Beaded Eyes was definitely the young warrior's favorite. The other two dogs, both males, were called respectively Ugly and Big Skunk. Ugly had a huge head and scruffy, shaggy fur. He was not a good-looking dog by any stretch of the imagination. Big Skunk was a big black-and-white dog that looked like a big skunk. Luckily for the warrior, he usually did not smell like one. The only problem the warrior had with his dogs was with Beaded Eyes, who had a lover called Lucky. Beaded Eyes would visit her, if you know what I mean by visit, as often as she would allow. The man that owned Lucky would complain about the visits. He was always throwing buckets of water over the amorous pair. One day the young warrior was out hunting, and of course he had his canine friends along with him. The dogs ran hither and yon, sniffing at every scent they found, however old or new, with tails wagging in exuberance at the very thought of the chase to come. Beaded Eyes suddenly stopped dead in his tracks. He sniffed the air, raised his head, and sniffed again. Something was wrong. The warrior also halted, knowing that Beaded Eyes had caught the scent of something dangerous. Big Skunk lifted his head, also sniffing the air, and Ugly let out a whimper. An eerie quiet settled over the forest. Even the birds fell silent. Something was very wrong. All three dogs walked slowly, stiff-legged towards their master. Not one of them was wagging its tail. In fact, their tails hung down between their legs, but the hair on the napes of their necks stood straight up. The three dogs stood by their master, all looking off into the bush at the unseen enemy. Beaded Eyes nuzzled the warrior's hand in an anxious manner, then returned his gaze to the same area of the bush as before. The young warrior studied this section of forest carefully, while placing an arrow into his bowstring. Nothing stirred, nothing unusual could be seen with the naked eye, but he, too, felt the presence of something very sinister. Suddenly, a loud roar startled the dogs and the hunter back to reality. From the area the dogs had scrutinized, charged a huge monster. It was probably a Sasquatch, but as a young warrior had never seen one, he could not tell if it was or not. All he knew was that it terrified him. The monster made a beeline towards the warrior. The warrior let loose an arrow that flew true to the mark and hit the beast. But it didn't even slow the large, lumbering hulk down. All three brave dogs ran towards the creature, barking and growling. They meant to do battle with the beast. Ugly was the first to reach the oncoming monster. He skidded to a halt, hackles bristling and fangs bared. The monster stopped momentarily, taking one swipe at the dog and removing Ugly's head in the process. On seeing the power of the dreadful beast, the warrior called his remaining two dogs back to his side. They ran toward him, but so did the monster. The warrior turned tail, and as fast as his legs would carry him, he ran towards the safety of his village. All seemed to be going along well, and his retreat successful. He seemed to easily outrun the plotting monster. Then, unexpectedly, he tripped over a root and fell heavily onto some rocks, knocking the wind from his body. The dogs stopped and stood close at his side, wagging their tails but looking apprehensively back toward where the loud crashing and crunching sounds could be heard as the monster smashed his way through the forest. The dogs seemed to understand that their master was in trouble. He tried to get up, but could put no pressure on one of his legs. The leg was broken, and he immediately fell again. Both dogs set off towards the oncoming giant, seemingly understanding the warrior's predicament. Both were determined to save their master's life. Big Skunk was the first to reach the beast. He circled it, snarling, fangs exposed. The Sasquatch halted, swinging its huge arms at the snapping dog. Big Skunk had learned from seeing his companion Ugly killed to stay out of reach, to stay at arm's length. The monster with surprising speed lunged forward, grabbing at the dog. Big Skunk was snatched from the ground and flung through the air. His neck snapped. He was dead before his body hit the ground. Brave little Beaded Eyes knew that if his master's life was to be spared, he would have to somehow stop this terrible ogre from getting to him. His plan of action firmly in mind, Beaded Eyes ran at the monster and jumped as high as his legs would propel him. He caught the creature by the throat and tore at it. The monster let out a howl of rage, then another of pain as he ripped at the small dog that was now hanging from his throat. But Beaded Eyes would not release the monster from his grip and tightened his jaws even tighter. The creature yanked the little dog away from its throat, at the same time tearing its own flesh. The monster screamed with pain. Using both of his hands, he tore the tiny dog to pieces. With a primal roar, he limped away towards the land he had come from, defeated and badly mutilated by the brave Beaded Eyes. The young warrior crawled, pulling himself through the undergrowth towards his village. He was glad to be alive, but realized that his life had been saved by his three good companions. He finally dragged himself close enough to his encampment to call for help. The people came running to his aid, and he was soon resting comfortably in his own lodge. While his leg was being set by the medicine man, he sat recounting his horrific tale. After the story was finished, some of the warriors were so impressed with the bravery of the three dogs, they said they would go and bring the remains of the fearless dogs back to the village for a proper burial. "It would not be fitting to leave the bodies of such courageous creatures out in the bush," said one. The next morning, as the sun came up, the broken bodies of the three dogs were blessed, and a prayer was said to help guide their spirits into the next world. Then the remains were laid to rest. After the ceremony, the young warrior thanked everyone for their help, kindness, and understanding. He was then left alone for a time to reflect and remember the brave deeds that were done on the fateful day that the monster came to the land of the Seneca. A short time later, when his leg was well on the mend, a neighbor came to visit the young warrior. "I thought you might like this," said the visitor, as he opened his jacket and pulled from under it a small furry object. He then placed it on the floor of the lodge. It was a puppy. "My dog Lucky had him a short time ago." "I know for sure your dog was the father," smiled the visitor. The little white ball of fluff waddled over to where the young warrior sat. It sniffed around, then settled down on top of one of the young warrior's feet, looking happily up at him, wagging what was a poor excuse for a tail. Around the pup's eyes were two strange black markings. The young warrior was delighted. Beaded Eyes had returned.
Thank you. Age of Light.
This is the Sing Out radio magazine. If you want more information about the magazine, it's easy. Just call 1-888-SING-OUT or check us out on the web at singout.org. You can also listen to the show as a podcast. This is episode 1643. And remember, we're also available on iTunes. This is the Sing Out radio magazine, and I'm your host, Tom Druckenmiller. This week's theme comes from the CD Devil's Tune on Northside Records, and we just heard the tune The Devil's Poles Dance from Sven Nyhus on the fiddle. Again, that's on Northside Records, Nordic music. And before that, for this Halloween, one of the spookiest tunes that I know is Eden Hammond's classic rendition of Queen of the Earth and Child of the Skies, recorded back in 1947 on a home recorder for a folklorist. And that comes from the Eden Hammond's Collection Volume 1 on West Virginia University Press. And to lead off that set, we heard Dog Lover from the Mohawk storyteller Murray Porter from a recording called Legends, I Am an Eagle. That's on Curb Records. We're celebrating Halloween this week on the Sing Out radio magazine, and one of my very favorite spooky, scary tunes is from Tim O'Brien and the Oh Boys, Oh Boy, Oh Boy CD on Sugar Hill. This is Jimmy Driftwood's classic tune, He Had a Long Chain on the Sing Out radio magazine.
One night as I lay on my pillow, moon shining bright as the dawn, I saw a man come walking. He had a long chain on. I heard his chain a clanking. It made a mournful sound. Wheeled it around his body, dragging along on the ground. He had a long chain on. He had a long chain on. He had a long chain on. He came up to my window. He looked at me and he said, I am so tired and hungry. Give me a bite of your bread. He didn't look like a robber. He did not look like a thief. His face was all covered up with sadness. He had a voice full of sorrow and grief. And he had a long chain on. He had a long chain on. He had a long chain on. Thank you. I went into my kitchen. I got him a bowl full of meat. I drank in a pan of cold biscuits. That's all I had to give him to eat. Though he was tired and hungry, a bright light came over his face. He bowed his head on his bosom. He made a beautiful grace. And he had a long chain on. He had a long chain on. He had a long chain on. My chisel and hammer offered to set him free. He shook his head and said sadly, I guess we had best let it be, let it be. When he had finished his supper, he thanked me again and again. Though it's been years since I saw him, I still hear him rattle his chain. And he had a long chain.
Bill was the wounded knight that bore the rowan shield. Loud and cruel were the raven's cries that feasted on the field, saying back water cold and clear will never clean your wound. There's none but the maid of the winding mead can mark thee hale and soon. So course well my brindled hounds, and fetch me the mountain hare, whose coat is as grey as the west water, or as white as the lily fair, who said green moss and heather bands will never staunch in the flood. There's none but the witch of the west meadowlands can save thy dear life's blood. So turn your stallion's head till his red mane flies in the wind, and the rider, oh, the moon gaze by, and the bright star falls behind, and clear was the pale moon when his shadow passed him by. And below the hill was the brightest star when he heard the hoolet cry, saying, why do you ride this way? And wherefore come ye here? I seek no witch of the West Meadowlands that dwells by the winding mere. Then fly free or get grey hawk to gather the golden rod, and face your horse into the clouds above yon giggling wood. And it's weary by us water, and the misty break fern way, till through the cleft of the Kirkston Pass the winding water lay. He said, lie down, my brindled hounds, and rest, my good grey hawk, and thee, my steed, may graze thy fill, for I must dismount and walk. But come when ye hear my horn, and answer swift in the call, for I fear ere the sun shall arise this morn, you may serve me best of all. And down to the water's brim he's a borne a robin shield, and the golden rod he has cast in to see what the lake might yield. And what rose she from the lake, and a fast and fleet gate she, one half the form of a maiden fair, with a jet black mare's body. And loud along and shrill he blew, and a steed was by his side. High overhead his grey hawk flew, and swiftly he did ride, saying, a course so well, my brindled hounds, and fetch me the jet black mare. Stoop and strike my good grey hawk, and bring me the maiden fair. She said, pray she thy silvery sword, lay down thy rowan shield, for I see but the briny blood that flows, you've been wounded in the field. And she stood in a gown of the velvet blue, bound round with a silver chain. She's kissed his pale lips once and twice, and three times round again. And she's bound his own with a golden rod, full fast in her arms he lay. And he has risen hale, and soon with the sun high in the day, she said, ride with your brindled hounds at heel, and your good grey hawk in hand. There's nane can harm a knight was lain with a witch of the West Meadowland.
Thank you. I might get lost. I stood rooted to the ground. I'm the spell is still unbroken. I'm still a hidden slave, till a casket from the witchwood has my body to the grave.
This is the Sing Out Radio Magazine, and this week we are celebrating Halloween. Those were the Straubs from their recording From the Witchwood, and we heard Witchwood, the Straubs on A&M Records. And before that, a Halloween classic from Archie Fisher. We heard The Witch of the Westmorelands. That's from the recording The Man with a Rhyme from Archie Fisher on Folk Legacy Records. And before that, we heard from Tim O'Brien and the Oh Boys and Jimmy Driftwood's classic He Had a Long Chain On from Oh Boy, Oh Boy, from Tim O'Brien and the Oh Boys. That's on Sugar Hill Records. We've got time for one last set. I'm going to lead off with Ann Hills from her recording where she sings the poems of James Whitcomb Riley, If You Don't Watch Out. Here's Nine Little Goblins from Ann Hills on the Sing Out Radio Magazine.
They all climbed up on the high board fence, nine little goblins with green glass eyes, nine little goblins that had no sense and couldn't tell coppers from cold mince pies. And they all climbed up on the fence and sat, and I asked them what they were staring at. And the first one said, as he scratched his head with a queer little arm that reached out of his ear and rasped his claws in his hair so red, "This is what this little arm is for." And he scratched and he stared, and the next one said, "How on earth do you scratch your head?" And he laughed like a screech of a rusty hinge, laughed and laughed till his face turned black, and when he choked with a final twinge of stifling laughter, he thumped his back with a fist that grew on the end of his tail till his breath came back to his lips so pale. And the third little goblin leered round at me, and there were no lids on his eyes at all. And he clucked one eye, and he says he, "What is the style of your socks this fall?" And he clapped his hands, and I sighed to see he had hands where his feet should be. Then a bald-faced goblin, gray and grim, bowed his head, and I saw him slip his eyebrows off as I looked at him and paste them over his upper lip. And then he moaned in remorseful pain, "Oh, would I had me brows again."
Nine little goblins, green glass eyes. Nine little goblins.
And then the whole of the goblin band rocked on the fence top to and fro, and clung in a long row hand in hand, singing the songs that they used to know. Singing the songs that the grandsire sung in the goo-goo days of the goblin tongue. And ever they kept their green glass eyes fixed on me with a stony stare, till my own grew glazed with dread surmise, and my hat whooped high and my lifted hair. And I felt the heart in my breast snap too, as you've heard the lid of a snuffbox do. And they sang, "You're asleep, there is no board fence. Never a goblin with green glass eyes. 'Tis only a vision the mind invents. After a supper of cold mince pies. And you're doomed to dream this way," they said. "And you shan't wake up till you're clean plum dead.
Shan't wake up till you're
clean plum dead."
Thank you.
That was young banjo master Victor Furtado from his self-titled recording on Patuxent Music, and we heard The Ghost on Hippie Hill. Hippie Hill is actually a camping area at the Mount Airy Old Time Fiddlers Convention. Victor Furtado. And before that, we heard from Sarah Jarosz from her recording Follow Me Down, and her interpretation of Edgar Allan Poe's Annabel Lee. If my American literature doesn't escape me, I believe that was the last poem that Poe actually wrote. That's on Sugar Hill Records. And we let off that set with Ann Hills, along with her compatriots, Cindy Mangson and Priscilla Herdman. And we heard Nine Little Goblins from If You Don't Watch Out. Ann Hills sings the poems of James Whitcomb Riley. That's on Collective Works Records. You've been listening to the Sing Out Radio Magazine, and I hope you've enjoyed our program of spooky fiddle tunes, ghost stories, and songs for the haunting season this week. I've been your host, Tom Druckenmiller. If you've enjoyed the program, you can get more information about the magazine by calling 1-888-SING-OUT or by checking us out on the web at singout.org. The Sing Out Radio Magazine is produced at the Little Cat Records Studios. Join me next time for another trip into the fascinating world of folk and roots music on the Sing Out Radio Magazine. This is episode 1643.
If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning. I'd hammer in the evening all over this land. I'd hammer out danger. I'd hammer out a warning. I'd hammer out love between my brothers and my sisters all over this land. If I had a bell, I'd ring it in the morning. I'd ring it in the evening all over this land. I'd ring out danger.